This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, per usual, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. Kind of a weird program here as we just wrapped up the 2025 regular season campaign. Just FYI, for the next 2-3 weeks, obviously the next 5 weeks, basically, we're all about the playoffs, but we'll interject some thoughts on the fantasy season that just ended up. Here on today's program, we'll do a little bit of that and a little bit of talking playoffs here as we wrap up week 18. We'll do that here at the tippy top of the program, which, by the way, produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. Not even sure if I said that, but it's all good. We just want to remind you that Mr. Cohen is behind the scenes doing all the work here on this program. We will pop out the biggest takeaways per usual on a Monday coming out of week 18. Luckily for us, it was a positive week. We ended on a nice note here, going 6-4 on the top 10 props. And most importantly, we do get the best bet correct. So we end the season was at 13-5 in terms of best bets on a Friday, which is not too shabby. As the fantasy season has wrapped up, I've already started looking into, you know, a lot of the lessons learned, you know, recapping the season. And one somewhat creative way to do that here, right out of the gate here, first Monday, Black Monday, let's take a look at some fantasy football awards. We have most valuable MVP, which, by the way, the P in my mind stands not player, because they're all players, pick, most valuable pick. So I've got that. I've got breakout player of the year, waiver wire pickup of the year, bust of the year, of course, and rookie of the year as well. So we'll talk about all the candidates and we'll do a little recap here for a couple of segments. We'll also at the end of the program, because we're into the playoffs, and when you're doing any fantasy involving the playoffs, it really is about getting the players on the teams that advance. More games equal more points. And certainly there's a lot of leagues where it's just you draft once, and if your player loses, then that's it. It's over. If he continues, if there's team wins, you continue to accumulate points. So it really is all about handicapping the playoffs. Of course, 2025 season, easily the hardest year to handicap the playoffs. No doubt about it. It is anyone's ball game out there in the National Football League. But I did the best I could. I did take a couple of upsets here. You got to pick an upset or two. You can't just go with the favorites. Not that this is a good year. And this is probably the worst year ever, in my opinion, to go with the number one seeds, quite frankly. We'll get into it. The program here, you can always get the podcast wherever you download your Prop Points podcast, Apple or Spotify. Well, let's get into it here. Let's take a look at the Week 18 betting results. A little bit of a sweat job, but my guy Rashad White came through again. Maybe we got a little lucky because he got it on a catch pretty much. He caught that ball in the first half. I'm like, let's go, 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 go. and he got there. So shout out to my guy, Rashad White. I'm a big karma guy. I've been a Rashad White guy from day one. As I've mentioned many times, one of the least entitled athletes I've ever encountered. The guy paid for himself to go through junior college. I mean, think about that. Think about these dudes in the portal now making millions. Rashad White's out there doing whatever it takes to go to a JUCO and paying for it himself. So love me some Rashad White. And here's a great example of I approach everything from a football perspective, obviously. That's kind of what I do. I'm not necessarily like all about the gambling angles on things. I come at things strictly from a football perspective. And I'm looking at the matchup there with the Bucks and the Panthers. And I'm like, well, Carolina has got two very good outside corners. And I believe that Baker Mayfield is struggling right now. I think we're going to funnel things inside in this game. And they did. But it was all Cade Otton. So Cade Otton stole all the production. basically. All we needed from Chris Godwin was 35 yards, but it was all Cade Otton. The Jackson Smith and Jigba call, hey, it was a good call. Dude was running around wide-ass open pretty much the whole game. The only problem was the Niners did not come to play and did not put up much of a fight. By the way, not for nothing. Let me just get this off my chest because I'm watching Brock Purdy get interviewed before the game. And I'm thinking, is he wearing shoulder pads? I don't know. And I'm like, no wonder he's all loosey-goosey out there. Like, he's got to have the smallest shoulder pads I've ever seen in my life. And look what happened. He got a shoulder injury. So it's unbelievable there. Just throwing that one out there. I thought the Niners would put up a little bit more of a fight. But spoiler alert, I'm not expecting the Niners to do much. We'll see about round one. They're very talented, but they're also very depleted, and they're also a little bit banged up here. Brian Thomas Jr., I mean, it was a little weird. You had to get weird in week 18, and we got there. It looked like it may not hit. He did catch a 21-yarder very early in the game. I'm like, all right, here we go. And then it was quiet. Parker Washington doing his normal dominating, basically, in the second half of the season. I'm like, uh-oh, but no, we do get it done here. Same deal with T. Higgins. If you were following that T. Higgins play, I was on the VSiN show, the tailgate show on Sunday morning, popping out these two in particular. And if you were watching, he caught it like a 24-yarder very early. Once again, I'm like, are we going to get there? Can Joe Burrow get 55 damn yards to his number two receiver? It was a question, but the answer was yes. We could get there. A.J. Barner, that was the Niners didn't put up a fight. Seattle just ran all over him. So that's an L. That's a straight up L, as is Lamar Jackson. And I mean, I thought for sure, I even heard Randy Moss saying this on ESPN, the pregame, like, you gotta be explosive out here, Lamar Jackson. That's your game. He wasn't, and they lost. It's unbelievable. That was the lowest rushing total of his life up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they did, in fact, lose. I kind of called this about 7 weeks ago. I had a couple of people tweet me. They're like, yeah, dude, they're still going to win the division. I'm like, no, they're dead, and they are. So we shall see about that. We do have some Black Monday items here coming down the line. I haven't seen anything on John Harbaugh yet, but I'm not expecting him to return. I think we're looking at a complete regime change. Just blow it all up here in Baltimore. Ken Gainwell, very active in the passing game, as we thought. Thank you for that. Rico Dowdle, maybe got a little lucky there. I think he had like one grab, right, for 25. He gets over there. And I was kind of feeling Zach Charbonnet, and he absolutely did crush. I actually added the Pat Freiermuth receiving yardage prop over at fantasypoints.com. I was with the grinder, Tom Brawley. He brought that up. That's why I went with the touchdown prop. Of course, bad year on touchdown props here on prop points. That's why we didn't really delve into them. And he does not score. But overall, not a bad way to end the season here. Getting the best bet correct to emerge at 71% on those on the season. So that's pretty damn good. But let's get into quickly some lessons learned here. We do have the big updates here. The Raiders have fired Pete Carroll. No shock. The Falcons have fired Raheem Morris. Browns letting go of Kevin Stefanski. I know a lot of people in Philadelphia, because he's got Philly ties, are hoping that he just returns to Philly and runs the offense here. And the Cardinals fired Jonathan Gannon. Yeah, Jonathan Gannon's a little too arrogant for – it's like, dude, you're playing for the Cardinals here, okay? They stink for decades. It's one of the cheapest franchises out there, yet he's out there – I don't know. He just never really rubbed me right. Shane Steichen, though, that guy's the man. Both of them, of course, coming out of Philadelphia when they won the World Championship. They won the Super Bowl. So, yeah, we'll see about the Cardinals. They're going to blow it up. Jacoby Brissett is under contract. But quickly – five lessons coming out of week 18. Don't have a lot of time for this, but yeah, like I said, it's back to the drawing board in Baltimore. We've seen the best of Lamar Jackson as well. This is why I don't like these running quarterbacks. They don't necessarily have a long shelf life. Lamar Jackson, it's kind of over for him at like probably 28, 29 years old. I don't think he'll ever be dominant again. Could be wrong. He did show plenty of progress as a pocket passer, but look, let's be honest here. The explosive running is a huge part of his game. He took a big hit last night as well, by the way. Number two lesson coming out of week 18, JJ McCarthy has ability, but man, we need to work on the availability. Dude got hurt again in the game. I have seen guys open the career as a disastrous injury dude, and then turn a corner, basically. Sometimes these players need to learn how to play hurt and learn how to protect themselves. Number three lesson, there's a giant decision in New York on the coaching staff, because I do believe they've got a lot in place there. Some talent on the offensive line. Obviously, Malik Nabers, I saw a quote there. That wasn't great today about like something about if he's not ready, he may not be ready for week one, which is – that's not good, but he is a very talented guy. O-line, Nabers, Scataboo, Dart, Wandale, a free agent. Let's see if we can bring him back. That's pretty darn good. So it's a good situation for the Giants, and it's a big decision on whom they hire. Number four, the Colts can't spare a Danny Dimes. They are ready to win now offensively, as we've seen with that great receiving corps. So I do believe they need to bring back Danny Dimes and keep developing Riley Leonard. Look, he's definitely got some skills here. He can run, he can throw it. And then last but not least, Dallas does diddly in the finale. I thought maybe they'd want to put their best foot forward with George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, but no, they decided to just give up, pack it in. So that doesn't leave a good taste in the old mouth there coming out of the finale. But we'll see about the offseason for the Cowboys. They do have two number one picks. And we'll talk, what will we talk? Oh, fantasy awards coming at you next year on a Monday edition of Pop Points. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. And welcome back to this Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. Today's show is, this could be the least valuable show of the whole year, but we will have some fun and recap the fantasy season, and along the way, hopefully help you make better picks next year based on some of these awards that we're going to give out and some of these performances that we saw in 2025. And then as the week progresses, we'll get more and more hardcore into the matchups, into the data, into getting the props right for the playoffs. And got to try and find some of these unders. I did try and squeeze in an under yesterday. It lost. Tyler Shuck. I'm like, who the hell is Tyler Shuck going to be throwing to? Steve, just randos, people you never heard of, Kevin Austin, Ronnie Bell, but he got it done. And barely, if the Falcons, they got the ball back in their last possession, if they had gotten a damn first down, Shuck would have never got the ball, and I would have hit that prop. But FYI, we will talk a little Tyler Shuck when we hand out these awards. What I did was I came up with three candidates for each award and a winner. So let's start at the top here. MVP, and the P stands for pick, not necessarily player. The candidates, Christian McCaffrey, Puka Nacua, and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Christian McCaffrey scored the most fantasy points in the world this year, more than any other quarterback. Of course, he was also like a top eight pick. Puka Nacua, dude, had 120. Well, is this right? 120? No, that can't be right. I may have. I got to look this up now. I may have put down his target number, but he was your number one wide receiver in terms of production on a points per game basis and a total basis. The guy was unbelievable. I got to look this up now here just to confirm here. Yeah, oh no, it's real. My God, I couldn't believe it. 129 grabs. Good Lord, what a season here by Puka Nacua. 1,715 yards. He even had 10 carries for 105 yards and a rushing touchdown. 377 fantasy points, second most in the world, more than any other quarterback. So it was only behind CMC. Jackson Smith and Jigba, however, won the receiving title with 119 grabs, 1,793 yards, 10 touchdowns. He's the winner. Jackson Smith and Jigba is the winner for MVP, most valuable pick. And the reason he's the winner is just because he was probably the best ROI guy in terms of the top 50 players. His ADP was 31. Just to give you an idea of what I always try to do to give people an edge over at fantasypoints.com, I've got a PDF cheat sheet that I update daily in the preseason ahead of fantasy drafts. And I'm always looking to make sure I position guys and rank guys well to give the viewers an edge. So, for example, his ADP was 31. Which was that's a third round pick toward the end of round three. I had him at 20, which is me saying, hey, don't get out of round two without taking Jackson Smith and Jigba. So he was an absolute stud. You could have started your draft. You could have taken Jamar Chase, come back and got, this was my draft plan actually, to go wide receiver in round one, come back and get either Jonathan Taylor or Chase Brown, and then get JSN in round three. That was pretty much my plan. And boy, pretty damn good plan here. So Jackson Smith and Jigba is your fantasy MVP as far as I am concerned. Next up, love this one. The SOD, steal the draft. We've got three candidates here. I'm going to start with Chris Olave, wide receiver 6 in scoring. ADP was wide receiver 34. Shout out Kellen Moore. You know, we'll talk a lot about lessons learned, but you got to have a good offensive coach running the ship, and you got to have a good play caller. And they have both now in Kellen Moore in New Orleans, and it showed. That's how Tyler Shuck was a thing. Javonte Williams, he was, excluding the quarterbacks, the 25th best producer with 15.3 fantasy points per game. That is more than Ashton Jeanty, for example, who was 32nd with 14.6. And then Drake May, QB3 in total scoring. Absolutely brilliant season by May. He was a QB15 off the board this summer with an ADP of 130. I, again, made sure I was way ahead of that to give people an edge. I ranked him at 110. I ranked him over guys like Kyler Murray, whose ADP was 93. I've been a Kyler Murray hater for a while here. The winner is Drake May. Steal the draft. You can get a lot of good quarterbacks late in drafts for sure, but he was an absolute needle mover, very consistent, very durable. So shout out to Drake May. Next up here, let's go negative. Fantasy bust of the year. Your candidates were Justin Jefferson, ADP of 5. He was wide receiver 2 off the board. He ended up being wide receiver 20 in total points. It seemed worse than that. Saquon Barkley, running back 14 in scoring, yet he was 2 overall. That was his average draft position. People were taking him at 2, not me. I had him at 6, which I thought, you know, that's far enough. Obviously, I'm going to rank Barkley in the top 10, but for people to basically pass on him, I'm going to rank him four spots below his ADP, basically. I had guys like Bijan over him, Jahmyr Gibbs, a wideout or two. But the winner is Mr. Bryant Thomas, my worst call of the year. I had him at 8 overall. His ADP was 15 overall. I had him at wide receiver 4. He was wide receiver 8. I am always looking for, you know, young ascending players. I thought maybe he could even take a step further. And I was right on one thing, that Liam Cohen would do wonders for the offense and for Trevor Lawrence. That was really the crux of my analysis, which did happen, but it didn't happen for Bryant Thomas Jr. Took a massive step back. And then we also have the rookie of the year. Tough one here. A lot of dudes were in the mix, like Cam Scataboo was looking good. Jackson Dart was looking good. But your three candidates were the aforementioned Tyler Shuck. Got to give him a little bit of a sentimental push here because the guy was awesome. Unbelievable. I mean, the guy has the traits. He looked like, even yesterday, I'm watching him closely because I took the under. And I'm like, this guy's like a six-year veteran out there. And he's huge. He runs like a deer. And he throws the football really well. So, I mean, the guy's going to keep this up. From week 10 on, he was QB12. So I think they probably have their starter. I see no reason to look for a starter this year going forward. Ashton Jeanty, it was a pretty good year. You know, it didn't really feel like it on a week-to-week basis. But at the end of the day, he was 20th. In production among non-quarterbacks. He played all 17 games. He had 300-plus touches, 10 tutties, 5 rushing, 5 receivers. But the winner is Tet McMillan. I know he likes to be called, let's call him T-Mac. T-Mac, 30th best producer among non-quarterbacks. He was one of 19 wideouts to hit 1,000 yards, 12.6 fantasy points per game, wide receiver 22. And lesson learned there is if a team drafts a wide receiver in the top 10, draft that guy. Because these guys are usually studs who are usually alphas for their teams. You know, Malik Nabers the year before. A lot of depth out there. So if a team drafts a wide receiver that early, you know he's a stud. And you know he's going to have a massive role here. Shout out to Tet McMillan, though. Solid year. Still playing, shockingly enough. And I did like him. I did play him in DFS, by the way, this past week. Should have, I don't know what was up with that call that took that long play away, but he had a solid day. We'll continue the lessons, not the lessons, but the awards and some lessons in there on the other side. We'll also pop out how I think the playoffs will go. I had to pick a couple of upsets just because upsets pretty much always happen. The VSiN Pro subscription, though, is still a deal, and you can sign up now. Get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Prop points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of fantasypoints.com, unpacking the 2025 fantasy campaign, one of the weirdest ones, maybe of all time. The depth, and we'll get into it in this segment, is just completely, completely absurd. But let me go for the next award here. If you're just tuning in, we named Jackson Smith and Jigba the MVP of the fantasy season. And it's not most valuable player, most valuable pick. So yeah, McCaffrey technically was the most valuable player, but I think the most valuable pick was JSN, who will be a top 12 selection next year. And he was only taken off the board like 30th overall last year. The SOD, steal of the draft, was Drake May, beating out Javonte Williams and Chris Olave. McCaffrey and Puka Nacua were the other choices for MVP. Bust of the year, Justin Jefferson. At least he had a nice little bump at the very end, like an edict was handed down. Get the ball to Justin Jefferson. I don't care if it's Max Brosmer, which unfortunately it was yesterday. At least he went over 1,000 yards again. The winner there was not Jefferson or Barkley. It was Brian Thomas Jr. We'll try not to hold a grudge next year, but that was lame, dude. Yeah, screwed us. Next up, rookie of the year. We considered Ashton Jeanty the obvious choice. We also considered Tyler Shuck the complete non-obvious choice, but we went with another obvious choice in Tet McMillan. Let's now take a look at comeback player of the year. There were a couple of guys that maybe I should have put on the list, but I did have to give some love to Daniel Jones, of course. I mean, the guy was career was in the absolute garbage this past summer. We didn't even know if he was going to start. That was a question. I did have Danny Dimes on my target list, though, because while I thought Anthony Richardson had a chance to be a massive needle mover for sure, you know, I kind of gave up. And I've always been a little bit of a Daniel Jones apologist because, well, he has a QB1 season in his realm of possible outcomes, basically, as he showed with the Giants a number of years ago. And he pretty much was a QB1 pretty much for at least 2 months of the season. And then maybe right before he got hurt, he lost that stranglehold. But he was a QB1. He was a major needle mover, as was Christian Watson. I did write something down on Watson here. Let me see what I wrote down. Here it is. Daniel Jones, real quick, 21.3 fantasy points per game. That was QB 11 in fantasy scoring per game. That was more than Caleb Williams, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Jaden Daniels, Jordan Love. I mean, to name a few. Christian Watson, from week 8 on, and we told people, we begged you to pick him up before he even took a snap, I believe. From week 8, he was 35th best producer among non-quarterbacks with 35 grabs, 6-11, and 6 tutties, 17.5 yards per route run. Very impressive comeback. I don't know if I've ever seen a player come back from a devastating knee injury and look noticeably better. Like, my man was on the jugs machine. He must have put 1 million hours on that jugs machine in the offseason because those hands were so much better. You know, and that's not something that guys tend to dramatically improve on. Either you have good hands or you don't, oftentimes. But, man, he must have did a lot of strength training because I noticed the contested catch stuff. It's like if he's getting his paws on a ball, it's his. Pretty much this year. So he was great. Shout out to him. But the winner got to be Javonte Williams. He was the 25th best producer among non-quarterbacks with 15.3 fantasy points per game, more than Ashton Jeanty, as I mentioned there. So shout out to Javonte. I've always been a huge Javonte Williams guy. The ironic thing is I didn't rank him high enough. I wasn't, you know, this summer, I wasn't bad. I was a little behind his ADP, but not by much. But normally when a guy has this profile, I want to be over the market. So I want to rank him higher than his ADP. And I did not do that with Javonte. Although, again, it was very, very close. Next up here, breakout player of the year. I love the breakout player. And I'm going to exclude rookies, by the way, in this because, you know, any rookie who does good, you could argue, oh, it's a breakout. No, this is second-year players and beyond who truly took a step forward and moved the needle for us in fantasy. The candidates, got to give some love to our guy Alec Pierce. Unbelievable. I was a big Alec Pierce guy coming out. For a second there, I thought he was maybe a one-dimensional player I was going to be wrong about. And yeah, he is still a little bit of a one-trick pony, but it's one heck of a trick. The best deep threat in football this year, Alec Pierce, of 19 wide receivers with 1,000 yards, tied with A.J. Brown with 1,003 yards. But how about this? There were only 19 wide receivers with 1,000 yards. He was one of them. He tied A.J. Brown. with 1,003 yards on 31 fewer catches. 31. That's massive. That's a massive number. Over 20 yards per reception. Another guy that I really liked, and these are both Senior Bowl guys, and the reason I kind of have a little bit more of an affinity for him is because I'm able to watch him practice in Mobile, Alabama ahead of the Senior Bowl. I think it may have been the same year as well. Michael Wilson, unbelievable down the stretch, just truly incredible. And it just goes to show how bad a bad quarterback can be for a talented receiver. I drafted Michael Wilson in a high stakes dynasty league. Shout out to the FFPC. Had to let him go after a couple years of futility because I needed some more upside on my roster. Little did I know that Kyler Murray would get banished away from the starting lineup, basically. Wilson, from week 11 on, 21 fantasy points per game, top five scorer among non-quarterbacks. Very, very impressive. And then the last one we have is the waiver wire pickup of the year. And the reason I waited to the last on this one is I could not believe it. The number of players who were drafted outside of the top 150 this year who ended up being needle movers. Before we get into the awards, let me just roll through this list here because it was truly, truly remarkable. It just goes to show that these late round picks can be everything. You can win your league in round 13 these days. Here are players drafted outside of the top 150 this summer. Trevor Lawrence, not even 150th pick. Brenton Strange, I was very high on. Matt Stafford, 46 touchdowns. Woody Marks, pretty much a needle mover. Romeo Dobbs, Wandale Robinson was unbelievable. Mason Taylor, and notice I always say seasons within a season. There were little mini seasons where a lot of these guys were like studs, like Mason Taylor, and then it just devolved to nothingness. Rico Dowdle, even Jackson Dart, ADP of 188. So these late picks are very valuable. Sam Darnold, Kyle Manunga, my guy Dalton Schultz. I ranked him way over this ADP. He was tight end 29. He was a stud this year. Alec Pierce, the aforementioned Alec Pierce, ADP of 207. Nobody wanted Alec Pierce. What else we have? Michael Wilson, the aforementioned Michael Wilson, ADP of 217. Harold Fannin, 226. Even Juwan Johnson was good, 228. Daniel Jones. I mean, we can go on and on and on. Fantasy cockroach, Devin Singletary. There he is, 253. He crushed that. Of course, he had to score this past week. Of course he did, because he's the fantasy cockroach, and he won't go away. Parker Washington, unbelievable list of players who were needle movers. But somebody's got to win the waiver wire pickup of the year. The candidates were, in fact, Michael Wilson or Harold Fannin. And I did go with Wandale Robinson. He was 39th in terms of non-quarterbacks, excluding last week, with 13.6 fantasy points per game. He just kind of came out of nowhere and gave you really, really good wide receiver to production. So there it is. Those are the fantasy awards for 2025. Certainly were a couple of other players that, you know, were in the mix that we'll probably deal with as we kind of pop out the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. Lessons learned from 2025. I'll point out my mistakes for sure, trying to be a better fantasy manager. Well, on the other side, we're up against the final segment of the show, and it's an all-important segment because the NFL playoffs are in front of us. If you play any form of fantasy, you want to know who wins, who plays the most games, I'll map it all out next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
The The final segment of this Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Well, I am an old head, by the way, in case you couldn't tell. So I've been playing fantasy football since 1987, back in 1987. That is correct. My first pick, bad pick, Walter Payton. Dude had like 350 touches the year before. Of course, I just learned about fantasy football 1 hour before I made the pick. My old high school Babe Ruth baseball coach came into my place where I was working. He said, "Hey, you want to do this fantasy football draft?" I'm like, "Yes." "What's it about, the NFL?" "Yeah, I want to." "What is it, though?" So I had no idea. But, you know, back in those days, we used to, regular season ended, we're like, "What do we do? Let's draft again for the playoffs. Just one and done. You sit down, you draft for the entirety of the playoffs. And if your player, his team loses, you don't get points." It really hasn't changed all that much. Like, for example, the FFPC, there's a lot of different variations. Some of these contests out there, you can only pick one player for one team, you know. But for the most part, you're looking to draft players on teams that will advance. More games equals more points. So the first thing I do when I try and break down the playoff field is handicap it and try and figure out who's going to win these damn games and emerge. So let's go through it. My bracket, essentially, will start over in the AFC. And let's take a look at what I see going on here. The number 7 seed LA Chargers at the number 2 seed New England Patriots. New England is favored by 3.5 points. Chargers are too beat up overall. Patriots, their body work has been too damn good. Drake May has been too good. So the Patriots will emerge victorious in that game. The Buffalo Bills at Jacksonville. I could actually go to this game because the stadium is only like an hour or so away from me, but I won't because I'd rather watch it at home and all that. But it's going to be a good one. And this is the toughest call right out of the gate. Buffalo minus 1.5. I'm taking the Jags. I really am. I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars. I can't believe it, but they're playing so much better. Buffalo Bills are a highly flawed team. Too reliant on Superman, basically. And Josh Allen, that cape's starting to get, it's got a lot of holes and a lot of wear and tear on that cape that they make Josh Allen put because the coach, in my opinion, is mediocre. So I'm going to go with the momentum and the performances of the Jaguars down the stretch has been amazing. I mean, they're kind of the best team in football over the last 5-6 weeks. So upset alert there. Next up, I'm not taking the Steelers. No, I can't stand the fact that the Steelers are in the playoffs. They're really annoying. I don't really have anything necessarily against Aaron Rodgers, but I'm done with Mike Tomlin. What does he do is my question, other than, you know, rah-rah guy, you know? And the funny thing is, I used to love Tomlin, but he's jumped the shark. So I'm going to take Houston here. They're a plus 3-point favorite. They will take care of business here against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which would then pit the Houston Texans at the Denver Broncos in the second round. I'm taking Houston. I'm a Bronco hater. I'm not a Bo Nix person. Not bad, but I don't think he's that good. It's just, I don't like quarterbacks who, let's turn on the game. I have no idea how the quarterback's going to play, but let's turn on the game. That does not bode well. That's Bo Nix. You just never know. Is he going to throw for 300 or 34? That's kind of where he's been this year. And Houston's defense is just too good. Now, this will be tight. Denver's defense is really good. They are coached very well. Sean Payton does a good job overall, but still annoying as far as we're concerned because they're very non-predictive. But one thing I will predict is that the Houston Texans take care of business against this. This is a flawed team. They don't have a great running game. Pretty good passing game, but it's always dependent on whether or not Bo Nix woke up on the right side of the bed that day. Next up, Jacksonville will be taking on New England if things go as I've opined thus far. This was the second hardest call here. I'm going to give the nod to New England, even though they're a little behind in the experience department. But, you know, Mike Vrabel, just they got it going on. They are pretty good, complete team. I think the difference to me was the running game. And I'm looking at Ramondre Stevenson. I've always been a Ramondre person, but I kind of jumped ship about 2 years ago because I'm seeing this guy get worn down every year, putting too much on his plate, and he gets hurt or wears down. Well, not this year because of Trevion Henderson working him into the mix. He continues to look explosive as hell. So I think that's the difference. Plus Drake May, of course. And I'm not a big ETN guy. That would bring us to the Houston Texans taking on the New England Patriots for the AFC Championship. And in this regard, I will lean on experience. I'm going to go with Houston defeating the New England Patriots to make it to the Super Bowl. The most overall, you could argue the most well-balanced team. Even though the running game's not great. Stroud's kind of taking some steps back. But hey, the old cliche, defenses wins championships. And I do think they have enough firepower on offense to do well with C.J. Stroud throwing. You know, those young receivers and those two Iowa State guys have been giving them love all year, and they're good. Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins. So I've got the Houston Texans making it to the Super Bowl. Let's take a look at the NFC. We start with Green Bay at the number two seed Chicago Bears. Chicago is favored by 1.5 points. I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with the division winner. I'm going to go with the team that has got better momentum right now. Jordan Love, you just never know with Jordan Love. But I like the Bears to win this game at home. It's a close one, no doubt about it, but I'm going to lean on the body of work here. And, of course, no Micah Parsons for Green Bay. They kind of limped down the stretch. Speaking of limping down the stretch, I might tweet a photo of Brock Purdy getting an interview before the game, because I asked myself, is that dude wearing shoulder pads? The answer was, I guess, yes, but he also injured his shoulder in the game. I'm going to go with the Eagles in Philadelphia. They are 4.5-point favorites, likely due to that Purdy injury. But let's be honest here. They're hanging on by a thread. They did not have Trent Williams at left tackle last week. George Kittle probably still banged up. So I think the experienced Philly Birds with, you know, some impact players on defense, unlike the 49ers, will get it done. LA at Carolina. They are hysterically double-digit favorites. So, well, they'll win. They're going to beat the Panthers here. 10-point favorites. Moving on, that would pit the LA Rams up against Seattle. Of course, in Seattle. But the LA Rams, a lot of firepower on offense, pretty good defense. And it's Sam Darnold in a big spot here. And I know Sam Darnold held his own this past week, but that was a really good situation against a team that really has no pass rush whatsoever. Philly's not dominant either, but they got a better rush, obviously, than the Niners. That would put the Eagles in Chicago to take on the Bears, and I think Caleb Williams and the run ends there as they fall to the experienced Eagles, which pits the LA Rams up against the Philadelphia Eagles. And pretty easy call here as far as I'm concerned. They're pretty evenly matched. But let's look at the coaches. One of them is Sean McVay, whose coaching tree is quite fruitful. And one of them is Kevin Petullo, who, dude's getting his house egged in South Jersey by Eagles fans who hate him because he's not very good. So I'm taking the LA Rams. So that would be my bracket right there. The Houston Texans up against the LA Rams, which puts... Let's take a look at it this way, too. It makes, obviously, New England players very appealing. It makes Jacksonville players appealing. I like the Philly Eagle players. Makes those appealing. What I am avoiding are the one-and-done people in terms of fantasy drafts. That would be Green Bay, San Fran, worried about them. Pittsburgh, of course. The Chargers, of course. That would be make me very worried about the Buffalo Bills players as well. So there it is. Had to pick an upset or two. We try and get it exactly right. We'll see how close I get, but that's how I see the playoffs unfolding. Stay tuned. Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 p.m. Eastern right here on VSiN. That is followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard at 4. Then stick around VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Matt Humans at 7 p.m. I will have player rankings for the entirety of the postseason and more on tomorrow's edition of Prop Points. Until then, have a great night. We'll catch you manana.